My dear friends, today is the feast of St. Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, and the proper last gospel at Mass today will be from the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And I would like to read to you the epistle and the gospel of the Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16. At that time Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into their everlasting dwellings. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. These words are taken from the proper last gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, one of the greatest saints raised up by God in modern times was St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco lived in Italy during the very turbulent years of the 19th century. Political and social upheaval had torn the country apart. Many people suffered from poverty, especially in the larger cities, and everywhere gangs of orphans and cast-off children wandered the streets. There was no one to care for them, and these children had little hope for a better future. And St. John Bosco had a special vocation to care for these abandoned children, and he dedicated his entire priesthood to establishing oratories for them, that is, places where boys could eat and sleep and play and even learn a trade by which they could support themselves. But of course, the most important work that St. John Bosco did was the work for their souls. His primary concern was that the boys in his institutions grow up to be good Catholic gentlemen and ultimately save their souls. And to help St. John Bosco do this, God granted him many special graces. One of these graces was the gift of dream visions, in which different saints and even Our Lady would appear to St. John Bosco and give him advice on how to help his boys. And on one occasion, St. John Bosco related the following dream. He dreamt that he was in a great valley, enclosed on all sides by mountains. At one end of the valley was a bright light, while at the other end of the valley was a dark and evil-looking cloud. And St. John Bosco, who was accompanied by some other priests, he asked them where they were. And as soon as he had asked the question, he heard the sound of a trumpet, and an unknown voice cried out, "We are in the land of trial." And at that moment, boys began to pour over the tops of the mountains and rush down into the valley. St. John Bosco recognized some of the boys as students from his schools, but most he had never seen before. There were thousands and thousands of them running down into this valley. Then the saint saw that a large horde of animals had come forth from the dark side of the valley. There were lions and tigers and snakes and wolves and all sorts of hideous creatures which he had never seen before. The animals rushed forward out of the darkness and began to attack the boys as they came down into the valley. Now each boy had a weapon with which to defend himself. Each boy carried a two-pronged pitchfork. And as St. John Bosco looked closer, he saw that the tines of the fork were labeled. One said confession, and the other said Holy Communion. And the boys were able to drive off the wild animals with their weapons. But St. John Bosco also saw that some of the boys were wounded in the battle. Some fell to the ground, and the beasts quickly devoured them. And these boys, he saw, carried rusty or bent pitchforks. The handles were all worm-eaten and rotten. And you see, these boys had made bad confessions and bad communions, and thus they were unable to fight against the demons who attacked them, since they didn't use properly the weapons which had been given them. Now, after the battle was over, St. John Bosco heard again the trumpet, and a voice cried out, "Victory!" The sky over the valley brightened, and the saint saw that all the boys who had been victorious were now wearing crowns of glory. Then the Blessed Mother appeared to them, and she gathered all the boys who had been crowned under her mantle to show that they were her children. And the next morning, St. John Bosco explained to his boys the great power of confession and communion, our weapons against the devil, even as he pointed out to them the great danger of abusing these sacraments. Now, in the Gospel for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, our Lord tells the story of a man who had wasted his master's goods. He was a steward, or an overseer, of a large farm, and to him was confided the care of the house and the grounds that belonged to the owner. And one day a report reached the ears of the master that the steward, in whom he had placed so much confidence, was abusing his office and wasting the goods that had been entrusted to him. The man of the house was indignant, especially after having given this man his trust and his confidence by appointing him guardian over his estate. And so he summoned the steward, and he said to him, "How is it that I hear this of thee?" In other words, he asked the steward to reflect upon the serious nature of the offense that he had committed and the trust that he had betrayed. Then the master said to him, "Give an account of thy stewardship. That is, hand over your account books, your ledgers, your receipts, anything at all that's connected with the business of running my farm. For now thou canst be steward no longer." My dear faithful, there will come a point when we too are called upon to render an account of our stewardship. We have many things that are placed at our disposal by the goodness of God. Our talents, our health, our loved ones, even our time. God does not owe us these things. He gives them to us in trust to be used in accord with his will. A certain sacred scripture commentator says, "All the goods we enjoy in the interval between our birth and death are held only temporarily. God does not give them to us absolutely, but only lends them to us." And as St. Paul says, "We brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out." My dear faithful, not only will we be held accountable for the use we made of temporal goods, but even more importantly, we will be held accountable for God's spiritual gifts, in particular the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. These two sacraments are so necessary in the work of our salvation, especially today when the devil has so many weapons at his disposal. We need Holy Communion to be the food of our souls, and we need confession to heal our wounds if we should fall. But these sacraments will not save us unless we make proper use of them. In fact, if we abuse these sacraments, our punishment will be all the greater. As St. John Bosco saw, those among his boys who misused them were overcome by sin, and eventually they were lost. On the day of judgment, we will have to answer for the neglect of these sacraments, and heaven forbid any bad confessions or bad communions that we have made. At the end of our lives, God will say to each one of us, "Give an account of thy stewardship." In other words, show me how you made use of my gifts. Show me how you made use of my mercy in the confessional. Show me how you received the sacrament of my love at the altar rail. If we have used these things well, then our soul will be well prepared to give an account of our stewardship. And if we have used these things badly, then we will suffer the fate of those boys who were overcome by the devil and devoured by the beasts. Now, how can we be sure that we are using the sacraments as God intends? How can we be sure that we're not wasting his goods? Of course, if we should have had the misfortune to make a sacrilegious confession or a sacrilegious communion, do not delay in remedying it by a good confession. Never let fear or shame move you to conceal something in the confessional. The priest is another Christ, and we know our Lord said himself, "He did not come to call the just, he came to call sinners." But sometimes it does happen that our confessions and communions, though they are good in the sense that we don't receive them unworthily, that is, in a state of mortal sin, still they could be better if we received them with greater devotion. If we strive to do our best when we receive these sacraments, then we need not fear the reproach of our Lord on Judgment Day, for we will have made good use of his gifts. When you receive the sacrament of penance, prepare first by calling to mind what the Catechism says we must do in order to receive penance worthily. We must examine our conscience, that is, we must put aside sufficient time before entering the confessional to examine our conduct since our last worthy confession, to make a sincere effort to call to mind any sins we may have committed. Or better yet, set aside time each night to examine yourself over the course of the day. We must also have sorrow for our sins. That is, we must realize the enormity of our crimes and the great pain they have caused our Lord to suffer, who gave every drop of his blood to save us from these sins. And this is a very important step, for without contrition or sorrow for sin, there can be no forgiveness. Next, we must resolve never more to offend God. That is, here and now we must be determined to avoid sin and its near occasions in the future. Then we confess our sins to the priest. That is, we tell him the number and the kinds of our sins as nearly as possible and with all humility. And finally, we must accept the penance which the priest gives us. That is, we must accept it wholeheartedly as a means of making up for the sins we have committed, for the injury that we have done to God. And we must say the penance in a timely manner, not putting it off unnecessarily or rushing through it just to get it over. And if we do these things, we have made a good confession. We have used the sacrament of penance in accord with God's will. When you approach the communion rail, remember again what the Catechism says is necessary to receive Holy Communion well. To make a good communion, of course, it's necessary to be free from mortal sin. But the Catechism says we must also be free from all affection for venial sin. That is, we must see venial sin as an offense against God, and we must be resolved to avoid it. We must also make those three acts of faith, hope, and love. Tell God that you believe in His real presence. Tell Him that you hope to receive from Him all the graces you need for salvation. And tell Him that you love Him more than anything or anyone in this world. These lively acts of faith, hope, and love are the means of keeping Holy Communion from becoming routine. And they show God that we appreciate the gift of Himself. My dear faithful, St. John Bosco promised his boys that those who used the sacraments well would save their souls. And what he said to them is applicable to us as well. Remember that the sacraments are gifts from God. They are the greatest proofs of God's love for us. And someday, He will ask us what use we have made of them. If we have used them in accord with His will, or if we have wasted His goods. And if we have used them well, then we shall hear from the lips of our Lord the words which He spoke in another parable. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.